Okay, let's begin our discussion of Parshas Miketz, Tavshin Pehei, and we will start with source number one, Vayihi Miketz Shenasayim Yamim. So we did this a number of years ago, but I think this mukkar has special meaning for this year, so I wanted to do it again. Did it about 4 or 5 years ago. Source in the Or Gedaliah, Rav Gedaliah Shor, says the Or Gedaliah based on a medrash. Miketz Shenasayim Yamim. B'medrash mevi el zeh hakra. Ketz sam lachoshech. Hashem put an end to the darkness. Zman nasan la'olam kamashanim yaseh ba'afela. Hashem said, how much would the world be in darkness? Umay tam ketz sam lachoshech. Shkol zman she yitzahar ba'olam ofel v'tzal mavis ba'olam. Okay, it talks about how long the Choshech is going to be in the world. Hashem decided how long it's going to be in the world. Let me check the power. The second shot of the Medrash, though, Davar Acher, Ketz Sam LaChoshech, Zman Nasan LiYosef, Kamashanim Yaseh Ba'Afela B'Beis HaAsurim. How many years did Hashem give Yosef to be in the jail? We know at the end of last week's parasha, Yosef ends up in the jail, and he tried to get the Sar Mashkim, the Sar Ofim, to remember him, Sar Mashkim, and he didn't. Kivin shegi haketz, chalam para chalom. And once the time came, right, ketz sam lachoshech, para had a dream. Hamedrash megala lanu sibas chalom para. Says the Or Gedaliah, the Medrash is revealing to us the reason for Paro's dream. Ki bepashtus anu mefarshim, how would we have read the Parsha? Right, you read the beginning of the parasha. Miketz Shenasayim, in the end of 2 years, Paro had a dream. Oh, Paro had a dream, and he couldn't sleep. And the Sar Mashkim remembered, oh, there was somebody who could interpret dreams, and Paro got out. Because Paro dreamed and couldn't understand his dream, that led to Yosef's getting out of jail. Says the, that's the pashup shot. Ki pashup lanu b'farshim, ki sibas gulas Yosef, hayachalam Paro. Aval ha-medrash megala lanu, but the medrash is teaching us exactly the opposite. Because it was time for Yosef to get out of jail, that's why Paro had his dream. That's why Hashem orchestrated the events that would lead to his getting out of jail. Ki sibas ha-geula haya ki ketz sam lachoshech. The reason that the geula happened, why did Paro have the dream and everything went? Because it was end. It was time. It was enough. Shemitchilas ma'asar Yosef babor. From the beginning of the first moment that Yosef was in the pit, there was a ketz, there was a specific time, how long Yosef was supposed to be in the pit. There was a specific limited time, how many years? 2 years, whatever it was. And what's that time came? Then Paro had the dream. So Hashem made Paro have the dream, which led to Yosef going out of the pit. So it's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides this is when it's supposed to be, so work backwards, and that is when the Geula process starts. Kenyan Zen, he says, we have a similar idea we had in Golas Mitzrayim. What's in the Geula Mitzrayim? Dechsev v'yizaku v'tal shavasam el ha'lokim v'yed ha'lokim. Bnei Yisrael cried, and their cry went up to heaven, to God, and Hashem knew. Vayed Elokim, we speak about that in the Haggadah. Shepastus kavana sakrahu, the simple interpretation is, we cried so much, and Hashem heard our tefillah, so eventually it came. Vayed Elokim. Ayidei mashe zaaku v'hispaludu ayidei zeh vayed Elokim. Through the za'aka and the tefillah, that led to Vayeda. Aval, he quotes the Rebbe of Ishbitz that says, no, the opposite. Like in our pasuk. Because Vayed Elokim, Hashem knew it was time, so it was time for him to listen to the tefillahs and put everything into action. Hashem said Vayeda, so that kind of motivated Bnei Yisrael to daven in such a way that Hashem would listen to their tefillahs. So too, through all of the redemption processes. Even though it seems sometimes la'ain ha'adam, we see A, B, and C is the cause. It's the opposite. Because it's working backwards. This moment was miyuad, was destined and designated for Geula. But Hashem orchestrates events and puts things, gives Paru a dream, and gives Bnei Yisrael the impetus to be able to daven in that way. And says the Har Gedalia, it's the same thing by Chanukah. The inyan zeh shayach be'emes l'neis Chanukah, as we have here, the first night of Chanukah. Sha'amru Chazal, the choshech zeh Yavon, she'achshichu eneim shel Yisrael. Yavon, they darkened our eyes. Zman mugba l'choshech zeh. There was a definite, limited moment. V'rak l'zman hazeh nitan l'choshech l'hishtalet al ha'olam. And the choshech, the darkness, was supposed to be only for a certain amount of time. A limited amount of time. V'chol ha'gvura shal ha'chashmonim ha'isa. Rak l'his oris milamala. There was a certain time that was supposed to be the geula. So work backwards. Hashem had, so to speak, had emanations from him in order to inspire the chashmonim. V'hamayla shal ha'chashmonim ha'isa bo, with the godless of the chashmonim, that they heard it. And they acted upon it. And they felt this potential for redemption, and they were able to grasp it and go with it. Shema yuhakelim lekabel zos hashpa. Shehergishu, they felt. Sha'oz zman pekidav yishare v'lamala. They felt it. There was this potential for geula at this moment. The chashmonam felt it, and they realized it's in their hands, it's in their control, and they were able to act based upon it. Vehema yuhakelim lekabel ha'arazu. They caught and recognize the emanations, the light, the inspiration that was coming from heaven, shalkeit sam lachoshech. V'gam, and now he adds. Now, Gedalia Shor adds, v'gam b'galazu, in this galus that we are still in, asher anu chavim ba hayom, that we are experiencing, hayu harbe zmanim shel pekida, there were many, many times of potential redemption. Right, Rishonim give all of these times when Mashiach could have come. The Gemara says in the days of Chizkiyahu and throughout history, there are all these times that Achronim give that we're not supposed to focus on. We're just supposed to do our best now. We're not supposed to be a Machashev Kitzin. But says the Har Gedalia, the idea is true that there were a lot of potential times. The question is, do we, Am Yisrael, do we grab it and realize that this is a time that we could stand up and do it? She'amru pirushim shonim lafari zman apakida b'mikro shebesever Daniel. All of them shatim give for psukim at the end of Daniel, which are very hard to understand. Al zmanim shonim imei agolas ashekvar avru, that have already passed. How could there be the times of geula that have already passed? There were certain types of emanations from above, and guess what? Says the Har Gedalia, we didn't get the message. We didn't get the message, right? We lost it. It went, came, and went. These were potential moments for redemption, but the Jewish people weren't ready and didn't recognize those moments. It could be like all of these times that the Rishonim give that Mashiach's going to come or could have come. It could have come if we would have been awake and would have caught on to these moments. We weren't ready. We didn't have the kelim. And the mila of the chashmonaim, the milas hador shel chashmonaim hayashir gishus oris, they felt the his oris. They felt his oris, v'hotziyo osam in hakoach lapaal. And they brought it from hakoach to the paal. So why am I bringing this again this year? Because I think, you know, as we look around, many of Achenu B'nai Yisrael, many of our family and our children, they're like the chashmonaim. They hear the footsteps of geula, and they hear and they sense the potential of geula. Not everyone, but there are many. Halavai, there should be more that recognize that this is a moment of geula for Am Yisrael. This is a moment of geula. And Rav Rimon mentioned last week, I heard him mention, you know, we know in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, right, Moshe asked, who wants to go into the Yamsuf? Who's going to jump into the sea? There was one Jew. Another day in the Gemara, but there was one Jew. Nachshon and Aminadav. Nachshon jumped in. Said Rav Rimon, today, if somebody says you want to jump in the sea for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there will be hundreds of thousands of young men who would be ready, I'll jump in the sea. Because they're like the Chashmonaim, they hear the call. They recognize it. Throughout history, so many, and even today, many don't realize that this is a Zman HaGeula. And we have to do our part, like the Chashmonaim did their part. We have to continue to do our part to be zocheh, Be'ez Hashem, for the Gula Shlema, but I thought this was a very appropriate source to bring again to recognize the gavlus of so many of Achenu B'nai Yisrael, of our children, of our friends that, that are involved and are hearing the call, that are hearing the Ha'ara Shamaimis, as he calls, to be makabel the Hashpa, to be able to bring the Gula. Okay. A similar idea, but different message. And that is found here in the Chamudei Daniel from Rabbi Stein. He quotes from the Ramban, which we've done in past years. We didn't do this year. And that is, you know, the mystery of Yosef not revealing himself. Yosef doesn't even send the postcard, doesn't let his father know. Again, some say, well, he didn't even know that his father didn't know, right? His father sent him to his brothers. So maybe he thought that maybe his father was in on it, which would be very hard because his father favored him. His father gave him the Ksonas Pasim, but he did send him. But it is tricky. Let's assume that he would recognize and he would know that his father would be in pain, that he didn't even send the message. So many different pshatim given. The Ramban gives his idea. It's quoted here, summarized in the source number 2, in the Chamudei Daniel. Ramban, that Yosef took his dreams as nevuah, as prophecy. That's how he understood them. And therefore he felt that it was his responsibility to help fulfill those nevuahs. Right, we have that. Remember the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, where he says, "Well, why were the Egyptians punished? Right, there was a nevuah that they would subjugate the Jews, the Eretz Lo Lahem. Right, and why was Sancheriv and why was Nebuchadnezzar? Right, and the most popular answer given by the Ramban and the Ravid, the Rambam gives a different answer, but is that no, they went too far. Right, they tortured. Doesn't say that. So, but if they would have done." If it would have been a nevuah and they would have done exactly what they would have done, the Ramban says, yeah, that's fine. So that's what Yosef did. Maybe it's the Ramban Lashitasa. I never thought about that. Putting that Ramban about the Brisa and Abbasarim in the Mitzrayim, the Ramban there in Lech Lecha with the Ramban in, by Yosef. Interesting. But either way, Yosef thought it was his job to make the dreams a reality. That's what he thought. And there's others. They have Barbanel as a pshat to bring them to Juba Gemura and other answers. And the Ramban says on the bottom right, Yosef chote chet gadol. If Yosef wouldn't have done it with these good intentions, he would have been violating a tremendous sin. Litzaris aviv ulahamido yamim rabim be'evel. But what was it? Top left, shekomash asa Yosef lo haya ela bichtei lahagshim esachalomos. Right? To crystallize and make his dreams materialize. That's what he did. That's what he did. So we can, in a certain sense, says the Chamudei Daniel, learned something from Yosef. V'hine Yosef is tied ba'ofan hazeh, b'vnei shehaven, because Yosef realized that just because you have a dream doesn't mean it's actually going to happen. You got to work really hard to make your dreams happen. Sha'af al-pi shechalomosav ha'yukenim ba'amitiyim, even though his dreams were true, they were true, this is what was going to happen. But if he wouldn't work really hard, they weren't going to happen. They would not happen by themselves. Only through hard work. There are many people out there, says Rabbi Stein. Well, Yosef, we have dreams. We should all have dreams. So we have yearnings and goals to accomplish so many things. Turning the page. Why? Because I expect the dream to happen by itself. I have a dream. Okay, let's see it happen. Without recognizing that a dream is just a dream. If you want a dream to come true, then you got to work hard. You need a hard work. A chalom, are the same letters as a fighter. You got to fight to make your dreams come true. And also, mochel. Right? If you don't fight, and you just, you know, let things, you know, memela, then you're just going to be mochel your dreams away, and they're not going to happen. If you have a dream and you don't fight for it, your mochel a dream. So you have mochel, lochem, and chalom, because all of those are put together. And this also answers possibly. This idea, this attitude of having to make your dreams come true and not relying on the fact that, no, it'll happen. That's kibel parodafkes pisarzo Yosef. That helps answer another question. You know, the Medrash tells us that Paro had many dream interpreters. He had many dream interpreters. And they all gave different interpretations for his dreams. And he didn't accept any of them. He rejected all of them. Until Yosef's he accepted. And the question is, what was different about, Rashi quotes some of the interpretations. He's going to have 7 daughters, he's not going to die. And so he didn't like any of the other interpretations. It's not like Yosef's was such a simcha, right? There was going to be famine after plenty. So why was, line 11, Patron hayu oso, el shlo hayu kolo nichnas baznav. But he didn't accept any of them. Klomar, shachartumim hitziu pirushim rabim, v'chalamos av shoparo, there were many interpretations. Ach rak pitronos of Yosef, it's lichlim sochem binav. Why? What was different about it? V'tzorach biur be'ezen akuda haya pitronos of Yosef. Shona me'achirim. How is Yosef's different? Madu adavku uzach ala shachneas paro biyoser. Why was it? So, there were, so he quotes the Mesha Chachma. I think we did this a number of years ago. Shachartumim lo hoyu yachom asbir amai sheva aparos haros hayo omdos eitz ala aparos hayafos asfas hayar. Right? Why were they standing next to each other? We'll talk about that. Heim lo yahayu yachom levar heich efsha shi yizman shal sova vizman shal ra bevas achas. How could they stand next to each other? And what was the message of that? That during the years of the Sova, you have to have the years of the Rav in your mind so that you prepare for it. You prepare for it. Right? They couldn't understand what that meant. But Yosef said, you know what it means? You have to act. You have to prepare. Yosef Chidesh, line 31. Sha'amidas haparos haros. Eitz laparos hayafos. Asfas hayar more that teaches ala pa'ula sheparo tzorach lasos. Kedei lahatzos midiraso. This is what you got to do. He's telling Paro how to act. And when something is in our power to act, that feels right. That feels right when I'm not going to just be given something in a dream, but I have to work for it. Ki betoch sheva shanim arishonos kfar amdu sheva shanim acheres lavo. And you have to know that this is why it's going to, this is why it's here. And again, we'll get back to that a little bit later. And now in the top of the middle, Shehem Savrush, Komashadim Roe Bachalom, Yikra Bachal Mikra. All the other interpreters interpreted, if you have a dream, this is what's going to happen. A dream is like the stars. Right? You see in the stars, this is going to happen. Right? The stars said that Rabbi Akiva's daughter is going to die on the day of her wedding by a snake. But it didn't happen because she acted. You have to act to fulfill dreams, and one could act to prevent negative dreams. So this is what they felt, that you don't have to act to fulfill. It's impossible that in a dream will hint to things that you have to do. You don't have to do anything. The point of a dream is, it's going to happen. It's the future. But Yosef knew, you want to make your dreams come true? That's what Yosef did with his own family, right? To get them to come down, to fulfill his own dreams. And that's what he told Paro. This is a dream that is giving you instructions. And he says you have this by many examples as well. He quotes a Svarno. a little bit later is the Svarno. But he quotes also towards the beginning. He quotes by Leah. V'gam Leah hevina. Leah understood this. Right after Yehuda, right, what does she do? She takes Zilpah. But tikach Zilpah shivchasa v'tiros liyakov liisha. Ramban. Avagav shalei hefsika lolades. Hilo his ya'asha miritzona lamed od banim. B'doch yud be'ishvatim. She wants more children. She has more dreams to have as many kids as she can amongst the shvatim. So she brings the, her shivcha. And also the dudaim. She acted, right, to get the flowers, right? And on the left side, vadvarim niflaim, yadua shaleidas adam ben amashamayim. Whoever's born, every child is, you know, there are 3 shutafim, the father, the mother, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lama lehay satzricha esasiba shel dudam de laholet es yisachar. So the Svarno says, line 28, bish tadlusan bahachnasa satzaros, v'inyin hadudaim nishma tfilasan shalzeh, ki roi letzadik sheyase hish tadlus hativi, Ha efshar etzlo
Latzik chefso. The imze is polish yazik atachlis. Hishtabus. Hishtabus to get anything. Hishtabus to get anything. Even if you know for sure it's gonna come. No, no, no. There's nothing without davening. There's nothing without davening. Mavur mikachi, efshal admatzik eschalka royalo. There are many stories about this. I'm not gonna get into now. About gedolim that knew exactly. It was simple. It was gonna happen vaday, but you still got a daven for it. And then he quotes another svarno about Rachel Imenu, but this is the idea of acting to fulfill dreams. And then finally, he says on the next page, this is what happened with Chanukah as well. In the middle of the column, line 11, Hu adin b'yimei Chanukah, k'shibnei Yisrael beis, u'beis ha-mikdash nilkadu, ra'inu eich ha-chashbonama yisricham la'amor beperet, v'laso is called vermativiyim. The Lazaris is on Israel. They have to fight. The Gamalak was Yichem Halak Niris Machanaka. We have to act. Nothing was just going to happen. Hashem could start, where we mentioned in the past, the Bnei Yisachar. Bnei Yisachar who says that the difference between a dreidel and a grogger. The grogger is we hold on the bottom, and the dreidel, if you spin it the normal way, not the really cool way, upside down, but the normal way from the top. What's the difference? Because Purim started with this Aruta Delatata. Right, Esther Amalka started fasting and already did tshuva, so it started from a below, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped out. But Chanukah, really, we were so far and so assimilated, like we said before, from the Argadaya, Hashem kind of brought some inspiration from above, and we had to grab onto it. But we had to act. We had to search for the Pach Shemen. And he even quotes a diak from the Lekach Valibov. Right, what does the Gemara say? Gemara says, Badku velo matzu ela pach echad shel shemen. They checked and they didn't find except one pach. Why didn't it just say, batsu, batku, umatsu? Right? Batku, umatsu. Right? Why does it say, batku, velo matsu, ella? See, he said, no. They first checked and they didn't find anything. Shebetchila batku, velo matsu, klau. They could have said, okay, we tried. Lo matsano klau shem, we didn't find any oil. And they could have been yotze, yotze mechavasam, ki ones rachman apatre. Or they could have used tame oil. But the Chashmonam did not. They said, no, we have a dream. We have a dream to use Tahar oil. So they didn't stop. They worked as hard as they could to bring that dream to reality. And they dug, like Tosva says there, they dug in the ground. So the Nechs of Chanukah is also similar to this idea. Their dreams only happened because they pushed hard. And he ends off at the end also based on the Chazal, the Medrash that says on the left side now. Kol amoadim asidim b'telim. V'yemei apurimena b'telim le'olam. Right? All the moadim we batel, but the days of Purim were not. And the girsa, another girsa of Yemei Chanukah of Purim. A different girsa of Yemei Chanukah of Purim. Even if all the holidays, we don't have anymore, but we'll have Chanukah and Purim. Because those two came from us. Right, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, it's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All about the Chagim, all about the Regalim. But Hashem Yilochem Lachem Atem Tacharishon, but Chanukah and Purim were us, and therefore those were different. Okay, moving right along. We usually think of both dreams as a repeat. There's the cows and the sheaves. There's the fat cows and the skinny cows, and the healthy sheaves, and the nebuch sheaves. But if you look very closely at the psukim, the Meshech Chachma points out that there are slight differences, but obviously, with a divine author, slight differences mean a lot of difference. And if you look in the Meshech Chachma now in source 4, Hadikdukim Galuyim, he says they're Gali. If you analyze, we don't usually have time to analyze. We just like try to get through Chumash and Rashi, Chumash, Unkelus and Rashi as much as we can. But if you analyze the psukim, there are differences. As some of the differences were already alluded to before, right? What's one of the differences? One of the differences is that the vata'amodna eitzel haparas lasvas hayar, the fat cows stood next to the skinny cows, right? Or the skinny cows stood next to the fat cows. Doesn't say in the second dream that the shibalim hadakos and the shibalim habrios were next to each other. Doesn't say that. Right, one difference. Right. Also, another difference in the interpretation. Yosef says, now look in the interpretation. Yosef says,
Paro says the whole dream again. And then Vayomer Yosef el Paro, Chalom Paro Echad Hu. It's one, but as the Meshech Chacham is going to say, it's not fully a repeat. It's one message, but it's not fully a repeat. Sheva Paro Satova Sheva Shanim Hema. Sheva Shibalam Atova Sheva Shanim Hema. Chalom Echad Hu. After the Paros Hatovos and the Shibalam Hatovos, it says Chalom Echad Hu. It says Chalom Echad. And then by the Sheva Paros Rakos, the Sheva Shanim, Sheva Shibalam Arekos, Sheva Shnei Rav. There's no Chalom Echad Hu by the weak and the skinny. That's another difference, right? He says the fat cows and the fat sheaves, that's Chalom Echad Hu. The skinny cows and the skinny sheaves, it just says 7 years of hunger. So what does this mean? Says the Meshech Chachma. V'ho Inyan. He says the two dreams are referring to two different things. He says the cows, haparos moros al ha, sheva vasova vaharava shatina v'eret Mitzrayim. The cows are Egypt. The sheaves are outside of Egypt. That's the message. Lachain, got to have a certain way of reading the text to figure this out. V'lachain chalam, shemina ya'ar alo sheva paros. Where the paros come from? From the ya'ar, from the Nile. Why? Because the Nile is the source of sustenance for Mitzrayim. So the cows, what do cows have to do with the Nile? The cows have as much to do with the Nile as the sheaves have to do with the Nile. But only the cows came from the Nile. Right? So that's why the cows symbolize the Mitzrayim. V'hine sheva paros olos achrei minei or. Sh'atzlachas ha-medina talui b'imeimei ha-ya'or. Imhu ole v'shod v'chol g'dosav. V'ashibalim moros alasova v'arav b'chol artzos ha-smuchos. The sheaths have to do with all the surrounding lands. Asher l'matar ha-shamayim yishtu mayim. That has to do with rain. So far, so good. V'lachein. Ha-paros ksiv. That's another difference that we didn't focus on before. Why do the cows come from the Yor and not the sheaths? So it's talking about Mitzrayim. Number two, why do they stand next to each other? The paros ksiv atamona eitzal ha-paros api mashabarati la'el. Ki ha-mida mora shebesheva shtei ha-sova ha-yem achidim lazal shebesheva shtei ha-rov. Because in Mitzrayim, they were preparing for the years of hunger during the years of plenty. So the cows stood next to each other. Kilu ha-yomdim zeitzal zeh. The Shibalim in the other lands, either they didn't prepare because they didn't know about it, or even if they did prepare, the Medrash says, it all rotted anyway. Aval b'Shibalim halo shar ratzos lo hechinu. O hayir nerkeves kamo shar amru chazal. Lochein lo ksiv atam odna. Doesn't say that they prepared during those years. Next. Hine b'Mitzrayim, really, as we know, in Mitzrayim, there weren't 7 and 7. It was 7 and 2. Because after Yaakov Avinu came down, it wasn't 7. So b'Mitzrayim lo haya sheva shnei rav, ki ba'od haya Yaakov pasak harav eretz Mitzrayim. When Yaakov came, it stopped. Olachem yisaso, not for now. Avo b'shara ratzos haya rav kol sheva shanim. But in all the other lands, there was still a famine for all 7 years. V'zeo sh'amar, that's why after the fat cows and the fat sheaves, it says, chalom echad, because it's going to be the same. This could be the same in Mitzrayim and the same outside of Mitzrayim. That's why the fat cows and the fat sheaves is one message. Chalom Echad Hu. Hu ha-ra'achas. Sheva shanim heina. Pirish. Hemshach sheva shanim. V'sheva shibalim ha-reikos. What did it say afterwards? The sheva shibalim ha-reikos. It just says, yeh sheva shnei rav. It says the weak, the sheaves, the skinny sheaves, that's going to be 7 years. It doesn't say Echad Hu, because it's not going to be, the 7 skinny cows aren't going to be true. In Mitzrayim, Aval Shiva Paros Shemora Al Eretz Mitzrayim Lo Yush Sheva Shnei Rav doesn't say that. Afshar Rasanu L'Sheva Shanim, even though it was going to be 7, become Akam Yipasek HaRav Aydei Sipa. So it says the Meshech Chachma. If you know what things symbolize and what Yosef is telling him, then it takes on a whole new way of reading it, right? You think of it's the same thing twice. It's not the same thing twice. It's two totally different messages. It's what's going to be going on in Mitzrayim. And what's going to be going on in the other lands. Okay. So Paro says, after Yosef gives him this interpretation, you are awesome. You're awesome. Here Paro, Yosef, Acharei hodia elokim oschez kol zos, ein navon v'chacham kamocha. Right? After Hashem told you this, it must be that you're so smart. So it's interesting. Paro recognizes God, right, by Shlishi, right? Acharei Hodiel, and Yosef wasn't scared to say Elokim Yanesh as right, the Shlom Paro, right? Yosef wasn't scared to say it. So you see, he's connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Biladai Elokim Yanesh Shlom Paro. He said before Sheni. So the question is, what happened between now and in a couple of parshias when, okay, it might be a Melech Chadosh Mamish, right? But the attitude of pharaohs we would think are similar. And here the pharaoh believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and later on, Mi Hashem, Asher Yashma B'Kolo. Who is Hashem? So he quotes us based on a story of Reb Chaim. Story of Reb Chaim Brisker. He says, Be'ir Brisker, Yehudi Ashir. There was a rich Jew in Brisk, Asher Esrov Kaspo Eshkia Ban Yos Masa. Most of his money he put in the boating industry. Yom Echad Partsa B'Yam Sa'ara Shitbiat Kol Ani Yosav. One day there was a terrible storm and the man lost his entire fortune. Funisha Nakim Echasav, he has nothing. Chashashu Anashim, and the people, when they heard about it, they said, if this guy finds out about it, he's just not going to be able to handle it. Chashashi Yivadalo Hadavar Yavolo De Sakana. It's going to be dangerous for him to hear about it. They don't know what to do. Alkein Panu Reb Chaim Shenoda V'Chachmaso Agdola. They said, they turned to Reb Chaim. He's very smart. Figure out a way to tell him. How to tell him the news. Ubikshu Mimenu Levetzeyas HaMesima HaKasha. So that's why they pay Reb Chaim the big bucks. Right? So Nichlas Reb Chaim Lebeisu V'Amarlo. So Reb Chaim went in and says, "Bitzonli Siyitzimo, can I ask you a question? I want to ask you your advice. Ketzad Lenachem Yehudi Shevsed Kol Rechusho." How do you comfort someone who lost their whole fortune? How do you comfort somebody who lost their whole fortune? Amar Ha'ashir, Sha'atzasohi l'chazku b'emunah v'bitachon. B'machazekim with emunah and bitachon, v'shiitin hodah l'Hashem, shikila chamas l'ezav avanim. Say, you have your life, you have your family, you have your life, you have your wife, you have your... Yeah, look what you have. Yes, you lost your whole fortune, but it's okay. Lo nifka begufo, and they sat there talking for a very long time. Right, the guy saying bitachon and emuna. Yashuv v'dibur yachad bar chaval and yani emuna bitachon. And finally, after an hour talk of emuna, and the guy says, "Yeah, strengthen him. Tell him it's going to be okay." Reb Chaim says, like with David HaMelech, "Atahosh, you're the guy. Your whole fortune's gone," and the guy faints. He fainted. Because they wake him up. They bring him back, and Reb Chaim says, "I don't understand. We just spoke for an hour. We just spoke for an hour. How even if somebody lost his fortune, bitachon, emuna, it's going to be okay, Hashem." So the guy says, "Yes, that's true. When it's not me. When it's not me, it's true. I could talk about how you have to have bitachon and emuna for anybody who lost their fortune, as long as my fortune's okay. If it's for somebody else. But when it's related to me, obviously that's shown in Lagamre. So when it wasn't shayach to paro to lose something, so then, okay, I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, this is what I have to do to keep my fortune. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. To let the Jews out? These millions of servants? No. Mi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, not then. Not when it's relevant to me. Right? When it's Kasha Shema Paros Pitzrono Shal Yosef, Lo Hei Adonvar Nogea Yelav Yeshirus. L'Nesini Ma'al Machto, Shiyuchal L'Hamshuk L'Skayim. Right, what do I have to do to keep my Malchus from continuing? V'Lachein, Lo hisnaged lekabel. He wasn't against shepiteron achalom ayemeis Hashem. Avak sheitztav v'lishloach hazami somim mitzrayim. But he was told to send them out. Mi Hashem, because that's no gelo. That's no gelo, and therefore he couldn't handle it in that case. Okay. Moving right along to the Aznayim Latorah. There's a lot here. Great question. So we have here, so Paro elevates him to be the viceroy. He takes off his ring. He gives him the special begadim. He changes his name. Vayir Paro Yosef, he gives him everything, clothing and a position. Tzavras Paneach. Vayitin Los Asas Paspo Tifera Kohen on Leisha. And all of a sudden, Paro is a Shadchan. Since when? Since when is Paro in the Shadchanis business? Vayikar Paro Shem Yosef Tzavras Paneach. Vayitin Los Asas Paspo Tifera. Vayitze Yosef Aleretz Mitzrayim. Unbelievable question. You just read the pasuk like, okay, yeah. He gave him asnas, bas potifera. And not only did he give him a wife, he gave him the daughter of the one who had thrown him in jail years before. Right? So what's going on here? So, lama shidech lo paro isha, haimze inyan lamelech, asked Rav Saratskin. So, v'yesh lomar bazekim otamim, he gives three answers. Three answers. Number one. Chashash Paro. Paro said he dafka gave him Ashes Bas Potifar for one of three reasons. Number one, Chashash Paro. Shema yimse'enu Potifar li Yosef Bashuk v'yomer avdiata. Maybe Potifar is going to find Yosef and say, "Hey, you're the kid I threw into jail. What are you doing here? You're the Mishnah Lamelech," and that would hurt the position. But Paro wants him to have the position. Aval acharisha lakach hasbito leisha. But once he's a son-in-law. Yisaper Potifar b'shifcha v'yomar. All of a sudden, he's a son-in-law. What's he going to say about his son-in-law? Oh, he's not an Evid. Oh, they stole him, those Midanim and the Yishmaelim. He comes from royalty, my son-in-law. My son-in-law, the viceroy. Right? Number one. Number two. Hashidduch hazeh sasem es pi muzoros balavana. This shidduch stops, literally, those that weave by the moonlight. That's the lashon of Chazal for the gossipers. Those the muzaras balavana. Shehifitzu alilas isha. What do you think has been in the top of the back page for all these years? Yosef and Eshes Potifar. That's been in all the tabloids. That's been the top story. But once he allows his daughter, obviously the whole thing was made up. Obviously that's going to close their mouths. He obviously doesn't believe anything his wife said. If he marries the daughter, then he's going to be in the house and he's going to be around his wife more. Obviously, he wouldn't want that. Number two. And finally, number three. Ish nashri ki yimloch, when a stranger comes into town and tries to take a position of authority, he's not so accepted. Remember by Lot. So Dafka, he'll be like an Ezrach. He married in. It's like the card. If you marry a somebody with the citizenship, then that's your ticket. That's your ticket. See here too. You marry the daughter of the Sar HaTapachim, then that's your ticket. So three reasons why Paro, he wasn't in the shidduch business because out of the goodness of his heart. He wanted to get, three to Olam Haba. That's not why he did it. But he did it for his own personal reasons. He wanted to make sure that Yosef's position was stable. the next one we did a number of years ago, but once it's here, we could do it again. Because it's a fascinating ha'ara. The next piece, this first one we never did before, but the next one, because it's here, we did it about 10 years ago. He quotes, there is a chazal that says that Bas Potifar, right, Eshes Potifar's name was Zalika, okay? Chazal say that she was L'Shem Shamayim. She was L'Shem Shamayim. L'Ha'amid Zera Miyosef, she saw in the stars that she was supposed to have progeny, descendants from Yosef HaTzadik. She got mixed up, her and her daughter. But she was L'Shem Shamayim. Masha is Chaim Bebita. So he quotes from his son, Rabbi Eliezer. He says, so I don't understand. Eshes Potifar was L'Shem Shamayim. Chazal said the same thing about Tamar. Tamar was L'Shem Shamayim with Yehuda, with what she did in last week's parsha. So why is it that Tamar, forevermore, we put on a pedestal and say she's the mother of, you know, Amon and Moab, and eventually Ruth and David HaMelech and Mashiach. So Tamar was the same Shemayim. She acted in this questionable way, in quotes, questionable way. And then she's raised up. And Zalika acted in this way. And she's Ashes Potiphar. And we know what she symbolizes. Right? What the other, at the top of the next column. The Zalika Gamim is Kadol Shem Shemayim Nishor Shem Shemal Ziron Olam. V'chima Ben Zulazu. So he quotes the following. When you're doing something that's a little risque, let's call it, but you're doing it L'Shem Shemayim. So how do you know if what you're doing is really L'Shem Shemayim? How do you know? Eich neidas adavar hanaseh emes L'Shem Shemayim. Ubameh yivchon ha'adam etz atzmo b'shas cheshba nefesh. How do you know that you're really being objective? And I'm not just really following my taiva. How do you know that? V'yesh lomar. And again, none of this is L'maisa, right? Avera L'Shma is a concept that was already in the Gemara. It was no more L'maisa, so... But at least, what messages can we learn? You know what the litmus test is? Line 12. Eich hegiv ala michsholim shepagash al derech mufukpekazu. How do you deal with challenges to the process? You're trying to do something, and all of a sudden, there are stumbling blocks. There are roadblocks in what you're trying to do. What is your reaction? What's your reaction? Tamar got a stumbling block, and Ashes Potiphar got a stumbling block. Right? What was Tamar's stumbling block? Yehuda was going to kill her. Right? What was Ashes Potiphar's stumbling block? Yosef ran away. So, im ama abadikash yachman alamali ukshema akvim nashmai mistamein masi ritsuyim bein Hashem. If a person has the reaction where when there are stumbling blocks, I guess what I'm doing is wrong. I better back down. So then you're putting HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the center and you realize that it's not me, it's Hashem. Then you know it's L'Shem Shemayim. And that's exactly what Tamar did. Right? When Tamar saw things were going bad, what did she do? She gave back in private Yehuda's stuff and says, this is the person I'm pregnant with. And, you know, I won't say a word.
I did what I thought was correct. And if Shemayim says no, I'm ready to die.
And that's why Tamar is L'Shem Shemayim, and she's judged that way. But what happens if it's the opposite? If somebody is acting, and all of a sudden there's a michshol, and what do? You start making up stories and screaming at other people. Ukshapagash Michshol Maldarko, line 27, who osa nevalos gedolos kadela siram. I try to do whatever I can to remove the stumbling blocks. And I try to force the issue. OC, that shows that it's just taiva. Ki reishis machshavaso haisalanos atzmo v'lo l'shem shemayim. And that's what we saw with Zlika. Hi paksha michsholam al aderech, shebachar alach leis b'al l'shem shemayim, Yosef m'mayin. What does this tzadekes do? Hotzi adiba nim v'za. Alish tzadik v'naki umasros alabayla v'chulu. And that's why her l'shem shemayim was not really sol l'shem shemayim. And that's the difference between Tamar and Zalika. Okay. Last couple of thoughts for the evening. Every word of Rashi is analyzed. We know there are tens, probably hundreds. There are hundreds of Svarim written about Pirush Rashi al Torah, trying to dissect what Rashi says, what Rashi doesn't say. So there is a little Rashi that all the Mefarshim talk about. Later on, when Rashi says on Perek Mem Beis, Yaakov says, Rabosai, you got to go down to Mitzrayim. We have no food. And they say, we need Binyamin. Vayar Yaakov ki yesher b'Mitzrayim, Perek Mem Beis, Vayomer Yaakov lebanav lamo tisro, why are you faking that you have enough food? Shamati ki yesher b'Mitzrayim, redu shama v'shivu lana misham. Go down and go get food from Mitzrayim. V'nichyev lo namus. And we'll live, we won't die. Redu. Rashi says, redu v'lo amar l'chu. Why did Yaakov say, redu, go down to Mitzrayim, not l'chu, go to Mitzrayim? Why did he say redu? Remez, l'masayim b'esher shanim. Sheshtav l'Mitzrayim is a remez to the 210 years they'll be in Mitzrayim. The gematria of redu. 210, fine. It should have said Lahu instead of Radu. Why did it say Radu? To be Merami is this. Ask the Mizrahi without answering. I don't know what's bothering Rashi. What does Chazal say? When one moves to Israel, it's called Aliyah. When one goes out of Israel, it's called Yeridah. You're Ole Le'eret Yisrael. So what is Rashi talking about? It shouldn't say Radu, it should say Radu. What's wrong with Radu? Radu is exactly how it should be described. Rashi sounds like it should say Lechu, Radu is unusual, and therefore Chazal darshan something from it. Says Rabbi Leo Mizrahi, one of the earliest commentaries on Rashi, Lo Shamati Pirusho. Right? The Mizrahi only lived 400 years after Rashi. Not so long, even less, around that. Pirish, Ki kol ha'olech me'eretz Kanaan le'eretz Mitzrayim, yikra yored. Whoever goes from Eretz Kanaan to Eretz Mitzrayim is called going down. Om Eretz Mitzrayim, Eretz Kanaan, yikra ole. Rish Eretz Kanaan, gavah mikol ha'ratzos. And he says, and even so, look in the next pasuk. What does it say? Vayerdu acha Yosef asara. The brothers of Yosef went down. So it says vayerdu. It says they did it. So what's Rashi thinking? That's what it should say. So some of Farshim and Rashi say, you're right. You're right. Rashi doesn't really mean it's extra. Rashi's just saying there's another level of interpretation. It says Radu. Radu is appropriate too, but there's another meaning. That's what you might say. That's what some of Farshim and Rashi say. But the Gur Aryeh, the Maharal, says, no, no, no. Radu shouldn't have been said. Why? Ki hayaroy litfos lashon tov. For Yaakov to say to his sons, Yaakov, the tzaddik that he was on, to say, go down. Don't talk that way even to your sons. Remember the Gemara in the Psachim? Say tar, don't say not tar, don't say tameh. Be very fine. Yaakov's language. Ki redu milashon yurida, vein diburo tzach v'tov. It's not fine and high, the standard of language that Hashem would have expected, or we would expect from Yaakov Avinu, don't say go down. Don't say go down. Say go. So that's what Rashi is bothered by. It is inappropriate to say Radu. Lashon Amora Yerida. V'yomer Chazal, Pesach Tverecha Ya'ir. Let your words shine. V'afalpi. V'afal gav shemishu holich me'eretz Yisrael Mitzrayim Yored. And even though it's true that if you go from Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Mitzrayim, you're going down. The Eretz Yisrael gavoh mikol haratzos. Afilu achi lo avi le'lemeimar kach. He shouldn't have said it. Achaz Lashon Yerida. He shouldn't have said it. What about the next pasuk? What about the next pasuk? Vayerdu ache Yosef, says the Maharal, Yesod Gadol. And Rav Kupperman, we mentioned in the past, has a whole sefer about this topic. And this is one of the examples. There's a difference between when the Torah is basically speaking as a narrator and when the Torah is quoting people talking. When the Torah is quoting people talking, so then we could say Yaakov shouldn't use this lashon. When the Torah is just describing what happened, the Torah says he went down, because it's true. Kihu lashon akasuf, v'dafka hamedaber lo yomar redu, v'b'neishu lashon klala el hamedubar. But when the Torah just describes what happened, then you can say vayeredu. Fascinating. Right? So there's a difference between the way we would analyze a quote in the Torah and how we describe the narration in the Torah. And that's the difference here between pasuk, why Rashi has a problem in pasuk beis, it does not have a pasuk in pasuk, problem in pasuk gimel. Amazing. Okay, last point. Last point for the evening. And again, this is how we have an Achron who has a very difficult pasuk and tries to be very creative with it. It's a hard pasuk. And the Mefarshim struggle. Right? Binyamin is what they need to go down. And Yaakov doesn't want him to go down. So as we know, throughout these parashios, Reuven and Yehuda are jostling for leadership. So what does Reuven say here? And you read it, then you cringe. And Yaakov Avinu must have cringed when he heard it. Right? Reuven says, don't worry. Let him go down. If anything happens, my two sons should die. That's what Reuven says. If he doesn't come back, don't worry. I'm going to give my two sons. And Yaakov says, what are you talking about? And Rashi quotes what? Bechor shota hizu. What a foolish firstborn. Bechor shota. They're my grandchildren. What are you saying? You want to sacrifice your two sons? So there's a lot to say about it. Some connected to the two sons of Yehuda that died in last week's parsha. There's a lot. There's a lot here. But the Chasam Sofer, in the end of Arachayim, the Chasam Sofer, the last shuv in Arachayim is Siman Reish Ches. It's about 10 pages long. Why is it 10 pages long? There's such a big shaila. No. The last shaila, if you look, it's addressed to the Maritz Chayis. Ritz Firish Chayitz came out with the Sefer, Torah Sanavim, one of his farm. He sent it to the Chasam Sofer. And the Chasam Sofer says, I read it over Shabbos and it was great and beautiful, but I have these comments. So every paragraph is a comment about a piece in the Torah Hanaviim. He says, and what you wrote on page 6 and what you wrote on page 12, that's the whole 10 pages of the Tshuva. So in one of the pieces, the Chasam Sofer says, and the Kasha that you asked about Ruvain, that's a really hard question. That's what you have in source 9. Va'kusha me Ruvain kushya atsumahi. It's a huge, what is Ruvain thinking by saying, my two sons should die if I don't bring Binyamin back? The ain't Shah Mishpat Melech. I don't know. And he, what does that mean? That's a reference to something that right in context, you have no idea what it's talking about. Something that the Maritz Chayis spoke about, the Mishpat, the rule that a king could use. He says, I don't think Mishpat Melech is related to it. Avalani Ragil Omar. I'm Ragil to say the following. I think this is the idea. It says in Baba Basra that the Pasuk says, about Kalev and Yoshua, Chayu Minha Anashimahim. It says they lived from those men. The Gemara says, what does it mean, Chayu? It means those two, Kalev and Yeshua, got the portion in Eretz Yisrael from the other 10 Meraglim. That's what it means, Chayu. Shenotzlu Yeshua ben Nun the Kalev, Chelkam Shem Meraglim Eretz Yisrael. V'zei Yechune Chayu. So live in the Torah sometimes means got a portion of. So if that's true, says the Chasam Sofer, maybe you can say the opposite. If somebody loses a portion in Eretz Yisrael, it's called die. If chayu can mean got a portion in Eretz Yisrael, so then nipsa misha mafsid chayla beretz Yisrael nikra misa, ki yadiyas hafachem achas, because it's the opposite. Chayu means got a portion, and mace means, you know, remove the portion. Reuven at this point thought he was still the bechor. He thought he was going to have a double portion in Eretz Yisrael. So what does Reuven say? My two sons will die. Meaning, I'll give up my halakim. The two halakim, I should be getting a double portion. That's what Reuven's saying. Reuven dima banav sheshua bachar v'shnei banav yitzlu beis halakim. Kamo she'achrach, Ephraim and Manasseh. So he says, shnei banai tamis. Like chayu means God, he's saying my two sons should die. V'zeroi, he says, v'zeroi la'omra. He says, but what did Yaakov say? He's not a bachar. He's biologically a bachar. What is Bechar Shote? We have a Yesod in Mesechas Sukkah. We have something called a Hadas Shote, a fake Hadas. So he says, that's what Shote here doesn't mean fool. It means Bechar Shote, a fake Bechar. He doesn't have a double portion. I don't even know what he's even offering. He doesn't have Yosef's going to be the Bechar. So that's what says the Chasam Sofer, maybe what's going on here. Again, on the surface, it means very difficult. But Chasam Sofer says, if you know Gemara and Baba Basra, and the pshat that the Gemara gives for a different pasuk, then you can hopefully understand this pasuk as well. So there was a lot here, we spoke about heavenly emanations for Geula, we spoke about the Ramban, acting on our dreams, there's a lot. So B'ez Hashem, we should be zocha to act on our dreams, and B'ez Hashem, be zocha to a Geula Shlema. Next week, I'm gonna be away the second half of the week, I'll try to give a parsha shir sometime in the first part of the week, but I'm not sure, we'll see. We'll see, if not, we'll pick up with Vayechi, but we'll see, I'll try to give Vayigash at some point. If I can. Okay, we'll stop here.